Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
Never filtered. Always fun.
Tomorrow's no good. I've got a meeting. Yeah.
I'm moving into your house.
I've got a meeting.
Right. Well, say hi to the other three guys.
Hockey players don't have meetings.
I got a sandwich in a briefcase and a new sleeve, a Titleist. Yeah. I'm on the way to a meeting.
We're meeting at the first tee.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Ian Mendez, our buddy from TSN Radio in Ottawa, will join us this hour on the Mike Hoffman dance. He goes to San Jose for like an hour, then he's off to Florida. And just about the whole scene in Ottawa, what this means for Erik Karlsson, the likelihood of him sticking around until July 1st to even listen to them on contract extension talks, and it's ugly in Ottawa.
I think it was a necessary move, though.
To get rid of Hoffman?
Immediately. Because if you are trying to get Erik Karlsson to sign an extension.
Oh, Hoffman had to go.
You can't have this hanging around.
Without question.
And you also have to make a statement to the player saying, We're dealing with it. We're on your side.
And it's a
we're
message to the fan base, too. Look, we made sure that this guy's gone so that our offer to Karlsson
is legit.
Now, is legit, and it's still probably not going to be good enough, and he's going to walk anyway.
You're right. It may not, and we'll have to talk to Ian about it, but I agree. Like, Eugene Melnyk is, that's a big number. Like, let's paint a scenario. What do you think Erik Karlsson could garner financially? Let's get a ballpark.
I don't know, 12 11, million a
12?
Year?
Roughly.
Somewhere, yeah,
if he's healthy digits. And playing the way he's capable of playing, he's worth that.
That's fine. Okay,
we were having a debate a couple years ago when he was on top of his game in the playoffs.
Third best player on the planet. Third best player. Yeah.
Now, he had a down year, and he's been injury prone. So there are some nerves that come with it.
He's got to get back on track.
For sure. But, yes, if he's playing up to his capabilities, $12 million. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
So it's either 12 by 8 or 12 by 7, realistically, if he wants to. If he gets traded and signs an extension. So that's a lot of money for the owner there. And especially, okay, so that's the business part. Take a look at the on-ice product, the team, if they're in a transition or a retool, because they do have Duchesne, they do have Mark Stone. They're going to have to spend a lot of money on Mark Stone, who's an RFA, and he's a really good player, too. You have Bobby Ryan, 7.25, still there. You've got Craig Anderson, who's got another year at, I believe, under $5 million, but he's 36 coming 37. So they have some guys north of 30, and then they've got some young players coming. There's no bridge players in between. Does Erik want to stay around for that?
Well, I don't know, but again, he's no different than every other hockey player that finds a way to always stick around and always buy into the new plan and the new program. And the only team he's ever known is Ottawa, so he's no different than Tavares, no different than Ekman-Larsson. But I do think the big question in the hockey community surrounding Ottawa is whether or not they're committed to a full-blown rebuild. Which is kind of crazy to say because they finished second last.
Which means you're basically already in one.
You're blowing up a gravel pit. You're not blowing up a mansion on the bridle path. You're blowing up a house that this past year was worth nothing.
But I would argue that they weren't as bad as second worst in the league. Like, they weren't as good as the Eastern Conference final the year before, but they're not as bad as second worst. Like Craig Anderson, their goaltenders had terrible years. Erik Karlsson had a bad year. You go right down the line. I can't remember anybody on that team that had a career year. And that's ultimately, you need good players to play well.
None of them had a good year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, who had a good year? Where the year before they had, I think they overachieved, and I think they underachieved last year. So where's the middle ground?
Just the fact of the matter is they finished second last a year ago, and they're not a team that's loaded with talent. I mean, even when they went on that run.
And they can't go back to the well and say, a year and a half ago, we were one goal away from going. That's gone.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they caught lightning in a bottle. They went out and won those games, and they made the playoffs, and they were impressive that year. They were a team that they were grinding out wins, a lot of close games, and I was impressed with their program. But I think you know, if you're just being honest about the, I'm not saying that they're the second worst team in the league.
Right.
But you look at the three teams ahead of them in the conference or in the division, Toronto, Boston, and Tampa, I don't think they're close to any of those three teams.
Not right now.
I don't think they're that close to Florida, who is fourth. So, you know, again, what I'm saying is this isn't like, we keep talking about the Raptors. Now, I don't think the Raptors are going to do this. But the Raptors, if they were to decide to blow it up, like, that is a drastic change. This is a team who won the East, 59 wins. Ottawa was abysmal a year ago.
Right.
So if you're blowing up a team that was just bad, you know,
it's not really a stretch.
It's not a stretch, is what I'm pointing out.
I get that.
And obviously, Carlson is the linchpin there. Because if you bring Carlson back, then you're trying to win. You know, you're trying to put forth that image to the fan base. You're in it to win it. If you trade him,
right,
and let's say you don't find a way to sign Duchesne, then all of a sudden, regardless
that's
of what
the
you want,
trouble, man. I just think talk about putting people in that building.
No one shows up anyway, for the most part.
I think it's just you're caught in the middle because their team is. What I was more heading towards is they're not as bad. Like they're literally middle of the pack. Because Duchesne's a good player, Stone's a good player, Pageau's a good player. Like, you've got some good players, but you're still, again, you're chasing teams that are ahead of you, that are better than you. So you're going to be
you're chasing teams with quality of players that are way better than your best players, and ultimately, when it comes down to the end of it, they don't have a chance of beating them.
Yeah,
if you're talking about a playoff series or,
I don't see
for
it.
The most part, night in and night out, the whole league's about elite talent and how good your best players are.
Yeah, but also, the whole league is. How much parity there is. Like, we all thought Colorado was going to be a tire fire last year, and they ended up having a great season. So were they as bad as they were the year before, or did they get a goaltender?
Yeah, but
play
do you think
well?
Matt Duchesne can step up and have the year that Nathan MacKinnon did? Because I don't.
No, I don't think
so. Because Nathan MacKinnon's play was a big part of the Colorado turnaround.
Well, but they were a one-line team. And guess what? They had an elite goaltender that played well. Like, that's the difference. Varlamov, really good goaltender. Who was in net the year before?
Okay, but that's just what I'm saying, Jamie.
Games. Calvin Pickard played net and helped them come last in the league. If you don't have
if Ottawa's going to get back on track, Matt Duchesne's got to have an out of his mind year.
Yeah,
and who's their goaltender?
Well, it's Craig Anderson.
Craig Anderson's got to return and be out of his mind.
And Eric Karlsson, if he stays,
he's got
to
be
elite. Like, you're right. Those are the types of things. But are you good enough even to compete against the teams that Brian was just even pointing out?
Let's head to Ottawa now. The host of TSN Drive, or the Drive on TSN 1200 in Ottawa. Here's Ian Mendez. How you doing, Ian?
Gentlemen, doing all right. How are you?
Good, thanks.
We're fascinated with your hometown. It is quite the scene in Ottawa. We're just discussing, you know, the likelihood of them blowing it up and coming up with a 3 or 5 year plan. And we were really debating whether or not it would even be considered that, considering they were the second last team in the league a year ago. But how do you see this playing out? I mean, do you sense they're going to be in it to win it next year, or could you see them almost making moves and by doing so admitting that they're not expecting to be any good next year?
I think that they're kind of all the moves that they're making, guys, seems to be headed towards a path of a rebuild. It really does, right? I mean, you go back to the trade deadline, you trade Derek Brassard and Dion Phaneuf and Nate Thompson, all these guys that you brought in when you were had this win now philosophy, right? I think the philosophy was 18 months ago, Pierre Dorion said, we got a window with Eric Karlsson, we got to take a run at it, and if we're successful, we can win a cup, and if not, hey, at least we pushed our chips into the middle of the table. And now, I think that they're headed towards a rebuild. I mean, you trade Mike Hoffman away, and you're really not getting, and I think this is the most vexing part for Ottawa, you're not even getting a prospect back, you're getting a serviceable NHL player. I'm saying that this is absolutely headed towards a rebuild, and to me, I think their best play here is probably to move Eric Karlsson at some point this week, because quite frankly, if he's not going to come back and he doesn't want to sign up for a rebuild, I think you have to move him at the draft.
You're right, Ian, and I mean, what type of shockwaves has this sent through the city of Ottawa alone? I mean, I know this story with Eric Karlsson and Mike Hoffman's fiance and all of that. I mean, it sent shockwaves outside the hockey world. What were things like in Ottawa when it went down?
Yeah, and you know what? It's fascinating, right? Because remember last year when Ottawa was in the playoffs and the hockey world had an eye on Ottawa, the feeling was, you guys are so boring and you play a boring style of hockey and you can't sell out your games. And Ottawa went deep in the playoffs and had this reputation to be super boring. Then in the year that they missed the playoffs, they become this unbelievable soap opera that the hockey world, and as you mentioned, Noodles, like the you know, even non-hockey people were fascinated by this story. It was a bombshell. I mean, really, I think we've been through a lot in this market when you look at some of the high-profile departures from Danny Heatley to Jason Spezza to Daniel Alfredson to Alexi Yashin. Like, you go down the list, and we've never seen a story play out like this where now Mike Hoffman has left. And I don't think Mike had the same star power as those guys I just mentioned. But it also feels like Erik Karlsson's on the way out, and this might be the final straw, the final piece. And I just think, like, this market has gone through so much in the last 10 months where I think there's a little bit of exhaustion, a little bit of a sense of resignation that I'm not sure what fans have that they can hold on to. So this has been one of the most unbelievable and fascinating weeks, I think, in the history of this franchise.
Ian, I asked Bob McKenzie this question. We had him on earlier, but is there any kind of talk or path to a resolution to this situation? Like, are we going to find out if Mike Hoffman's fiance actually did this or not? Is there a time frame? I would imagine everybody involved would want to get to a conclusion, unless she actually did do it and she doesn't want the truth to come out.
No, and you know what? The Hoffman camp is adamant. I mean, capital A adamant that they were not involved with this. So this is where it gets a little bit dicey, because I know that there is a police investigation underway. My sense is that something will have to happen, I think, by late July, early August on that front. And there's a kind of a, for lack of a better term, it is like a restraining order. I don't know how. I think that almost has to kind of be renewed at some point over the summer. That's my sort of layman's understanding of the situation, is that they will have to figure something out. I don't know that they can resolve this through an arbitrator or sort of as a, you know, out of court settlement, because I look at this and I think if you're the Hoffman camp and you're adamant that you didn't do this, well, I don't think you want to enter any sort of settlement territory, because that, I think the public would perceive that as you're guilty of something.
Absolutely.
And so I think that this is probably, unfortunately for all the parties involved, is probably going to get dragged out into the light of day. And in terms of a time frame for how that might happen, I'm not sure, but I think we can all agree that there was a 0% chance that these two guys could ever coexist again as teammates. And I think it behooved Ottawa to get rid of one in Mike Hoffman. And the question is, did Erik Karlsson at some point go to management with this and say, look, this is going on? And maybe Erik felt like the organization didn't have his back on this. And maybe that was, like I said, the final straw. But I have a feeling that the other pieces to this are going to be put into place at some point here in the coming months.
With all the exits and people leaving, do you not think, and there's been talk about the attendance and taking out seats, blah, 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 where the rink is, do you not think, Ian, if Erik Karlsson leaves town and then Duchesne, what is it, 1 or 2 years down the road?
One more year,
he decides that it's a mess and he doesn't want to stay there. Do you not think the organization is in massive trouble?
Yeah, they are. They are. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Like, do I think that they're in danger of, you know, losing this team to Quebec City, like some people will say? Or I don't think that, because I do think Gary Bettman looks at this market and says, okay, they have a fan base here. There appears to be a little bit of a distaste with the owner. Would a change in ownership change that? We do know, or we do believe, that there are other groups interested in swooping in, buying this team, having a downtown rink. So I would find it really far-fetched that the sort of long-term viability of this franchise would be in jeopardy based on the recent event. But I can't sit here and tell you that if they trade Erik Karlsson that opening night, like, I can't, like, I wouldn't be shocked if opening night there was, you know, 14,000 people inside a 19,000 seat arena. I mean, I would wager to say, guys, last year they maybe had a season ticket base of 7,500 people. And that's just an estimate. I think it's fair to say, based on the train wreck of a season that they've had and the train wreck of an offseason that has started here, if a conservative estimate says 50% of people renewed, now you're looking at 3,500 people are season ticket holders, or 4,000. So every night you got to move 14,000 tickets.
That's Greensboro
stuff. To an Ottawa
stuff.
Senators game in a cornfield in Kanata. I don't like the odds for the attendance looking great next year if this is the path that they're headed.
With Ian Mendez of TSN Radio in Ottawa, all of a sudden Melnick would be campaigning for the Leafs to play there 41 times a year. It'd be, all of a sudden, his whole tune would change. Remember when they were on top of the world and don't sell your tickets to Leaf fans? I'm sure Melnick would love to see as many Leaf fans as possible in there when the Leafs do roll through town. Presuming Carlson gets dealt this weekend, I mean, it's going to be difficult for... It's going to be difficult for the Senators to hit a grand slam here because of everything that's happened. You know, because of how it feels like it's inevitable. If they feel like they got to move him, it's because he's told them that he's not signing with them. And teams are going to try to take advantage of that. That said, Erik Karlsson, when healthy, is one of the best players in the world. So there's going to be value that comes with it. But do you see a bar that has been set here where if Dorion doesn't get to it or exceed it, this whole offseason that's been a tire fire to begin with is going to look that much worse because they botched the Karlsson trade?
Yeah, and that's exactly it, because if they botch this in any way, shape, or form, that could set this franchise back 3, 5, 7 years, whatever. I mean, they traded Jason Spezza, and they basically got four quarters back for a dollar. They can't do that. They can't get spare parts here. And this is the fear, is that you go back in the last, like, how many times has a player been traded at the sort of peak of his career in the NHL? It's not often. I mean, look at what Boston got for Joe Thornton back in the day. Look at what the Penguins got for Jaromir Jagr back in the day. Like, guys that are at their absolute peak rarely get traded, and very rarely does the team get equal value back, right? So this is the fear for Ottawa. I think if you're going to use a measuring stick using Senators' franchise history, I think you got to use the Alexi Yashin situation, when everyone knew they probably had to trade Alexi Yashin back in the summer of 2001. And what did they get back in return? They got Jason Spezza. They got the number two overall pick from the Islanders. Jason Spezza, Zdeno Chara, and a spare part in Bill McCall. But if they could get a package back that included a top three pick and a player that ended up, Zdeno Chara is probably a bad example because he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but if they could get a very, very good NHL player and a high-end prospect, I think that would probably silence the fans. But that, to me, is the bar. It's the Yashin trade. And if they fall short of that, my goodness, there's going to be some angry people in this market.
Well, here's a scenario for you, Ian. You're right. You could probably get a great package, but what if you're trying to move Bobby Ryan's contract and you tie that to the deal? That's obviously going to water down the deal.
See, I don't think you should, because you've got a franchise player the likes of which you may never have again for another generation. If you mitigate his return by stapling a bad contract to it, I don't think you recover from that from a public relations perspective. I think people would much rather you come back with Bobby Ryan. If he has to play the next 4 years with Bobby Ryan, so be it. But don't water down the return of a generational player because you wanted to staple a bad contract. That to me, if I'm trying to read this market, that's what the fans are saying. They're like, okay, if we've gotten past the point of no return with Karlsson, at least hit a home run. Don't hit a ground rule double. Don't hit a single. Hit a home run. And I don't think you can hit a home run if you attach a $7.25 million contract to it. As effective as Bobby Ryan can be, I just think that waters down the return for the captain.
Right. Thank you, Ian. Enjoy it out there, man. It sounds like you guys are getting
having fun
up for a while.
Having fun.
Lots to talk about.
Lots to talk about.
For once, Ottawa's a little bit more interesting than Toronto, guys.
Yes, it most certainly is. Always stealing the spotlight from Toronto. Just take it easy up there in Ottawa, okay?
All right. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Ian. Ian Mendez from TSN Radio in Ottawa. Yeah, I totally agree with him, and we had the same conversations leading up to the trade deadline when the reports were out there that Bobby Ryan had to be attached to the Karlsson deal. That just doesn't make any sense. You can't deplete the value of Karlsson.
You're right, 100%. It's just, if you have an owner in your ear going, get rid of 7.25 and Ryan for another 4 years, and Erik Karlsson's not going to sign, optically, it would look awful if Erik Karlsson was traded for X, Y, and Z, and none of them ended
50 up cents on the dollar.
Exactly. But unless you're willing to buy out Bobby Ryan at some point, or have him, I mean, you need players to fill out your roster, and you have to be at the floor. So there's another thing that if they are taking contracts like Bodker's, which is $4 million on the cap, but $3 million real money, they may just have to bite the bullet and have Bobby be a good player when he's healthy, but he's never healthy. He's had 11 hand-ish injuries. 11.
Well, and even when he's healthy, he's probably not worth that contract.
Not at that point, no.
That's a big dollar amount for a guy who,
He scored 30, but it was earlier on in his career.
Right, and he had that great playoff run last year, he's probably not worth that.
He's not at 7.25 right now.
And then the other thing that hangs over this black cloud that hangs over them, is the draft pick that they're going to hand over to Colorado next year if they keep this year's pick. Yeah. And that's also a part of the whole marketing campaign. Like, the Leafs just went through it. They told the market they're going to be bad. Everyone braced for it. Everyone knew it was coming. But the payoff was Matthews in the end.
Yeah.
And there was no guarantees they were going to win the lottery, but they put themselves in a position.
There's no guarantees there's going to be a Matthews coming up either to be a difference maker in your organization. Well, it's all a crapshoot when you're going to rebuild.
I understand that, but the point I'm making is that's the one thing that can keep a fan base somewhat attached to you, and interested.
Yeah.
If you don't have your first round pick and you're the worst team in the league, what is the payoff if you're a fan?
Well, they're going to get it.
You're not a fan anymore.
They'll get a first round pick with Carlson. That's the only thing that,
right, but they're
that's
not
the only
get
saving
it.
Grace.
Are they going to get it from a team that's expected to be bottom three in the league next year?
I don't know. You may end up like it. It could be. I that's why I'm so excited for this draft, and I think there could be something out of left field.
How many drafts have we gone to that we had no business going to? Me and you stuck in New Jersey, Philly. This is the only one we should be at, and we're not going.
But this is probably good, because usually when you're not there, all hell breaks loose. And I think all hell's going to break loose here, because we're talking about it. Pierre Dorion knows about it. He knows that draft pick's going to be out the window, so it's either this year or next year. You don't think if he tries to maximize his Erik Karlsson situation, he's going to try and make people not remember that. You're going to go and get...
Picks, you got to presume. If the Karlsson trade is a precursor or the beginning of a
rebuild,
so to speak, you're looking for picks and prospects in return. Right. So, you know, but what I'm saying is it depends on
who's acquiring to a bottom feeder team that could be a top three pick.
And I believe he's got a limited no-trade list as well. So he could...
He's got a 10 no-fly list.
Right. And maybe, though, you know... Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you end up trading him to, I don't even, let's say it's Vegas.
Is his list public?
No, it's not, no, as far as not. I know. But let's say it's Vegas. Now, that would be an interesting one, because maybe Vegas does completely fall off next year. Maybe they do drop to the bottom. But this was a team that was in the Cup final this year. They got some money. You bring in Karlsson. Let's say you get their first round pick.
Yeah.
If it turns out to be the 12th pick or the 20th pick, then...
Yeah, you're right.
And Ottawa ends up last.
But maybe they get, like, you're right. There's always maybes, and that pick should have been lottery protected, but, you know, it's...
Well, they protected it for a year, but obviously, when they made the deal, they didn't see themselves dropping the way that they did this year.
They didn't see it all fall off, but...
They were in a playoff spot or close to it when they traded for Duchene.
You're right. But I'm just saying, like... I think you're going to get multiple picks and probably a blue chip.
Erik Karlsson, I can't even imagine what the haul for that player would be.
But it has to be massive.
But that's right. It's got to be somebody, like, if you identify an organization, you're talking, like, multiple massive names. Like, you know,
you talk about wanting to get picks for Karlsson. Tatar got a first, second, and third.
I know.
What the hell's Karlsson worth?
But I'm just saying, like... Let's do a scenario here. What would the Leafs have to pay for Erik Karlsson? It's probably Marner or...
Well, here's the only thing I will say before we get into this.
Right.
He's only got 1 year left. It would have to be contingent on him signing a long-term deal.
An extension, correct.
Because
you're getting full value.
That's the whole thing. Like, if Karlsson goes trade for me, I'm cool, but I'm going to play it out and go to free agency, then that's also going to take away from the value you're going to get in return. Like, we goof about Tatar, and you're right, but I think he has like 3 years left on his deal.
So what? It's still a lot.
I know, but the point is, it wasn't a true rental. Like, Vegas was committed to him being a part of their team.
Yeah.
So it is a lot, but I think if Karlsson's coming and on top of it is I get to have a conversation with him and knock out a long-term deal... If it's the Leafs, you're right. I think it would be one of those.
It would be a massive...
Be one of Marner or Nylander plus.
Right. And that's so, like, you go down every organization, it's you're getting, or you should, what Ian's talking about and what we're bringing up, you should be getting blue chip players coming back. And I'm saying players. Now, you never ever get the full value. The Joe Thornton trade, like, that's one that stung. But Thornton was young. Like, Erik Karlsson is in the prime of his career.
And this has been established as a true bona fide superstar.
This is a superstar. This guy is, and arguably could probably have four. He had a bad year. He still had like 60 points on a bad year.
Well, and I think he'll recover.
Awful team, bad year. He still had 60 points.
I think.
Might have been more than that, Jamie.
I don't want to speak out of turn.
You're right. It was. And listen, I mean, he was coming off surgery. He was injured. He's had a full summer, full recovery.
And probably if he does get traded, which we believe it probably will happen, he's going to be motivated for his new team. Like, this is a guy.
Well, who do you guys think makes the most sense? Which teams pop into your head where you're like, I think that's who's going to take a serious run out of
Vegas.
I think Vegas makes a lot of
Edmonton
sense,
Edmonton doesn't have the pieces, but they would want to be in there. They need somebody on.
I think Frank reported that Edmonton's on the no-fly list. Yeah. Doesn't mean that can't change.
You're right.
But, Edmonton would be a team that would.
See, I could see something crazy like Nashville involved in that.
I just think that Vegas has the picks. They've got a lot of young picks, whether it be their first-round picks from last year or whatever. I think they could put a package together.
But there are teams like it's going to be, for me, it's a team out of left field, like a Dallas or something like that, where it's
what if it's Columbus?
It's Klingberg Columbus. The starter would be Seth Jones, right?
That's true.
The left-handed
Werenski.
He's got to want to go to Columbus too.
Right. I don't know. I mean, we're just spitballing here, but in reality, you would think every GM in the league is going to call. If it's open season, you're going to call. You're going to see what the price is. Now, maybe Dorian tells you it's not going to happen. Don't even call me. Like, maybe the Leafs, he doesn't even take the call.
Right.
You know, and maybe other teams within the division, he just, like Detroit. I could see Detroit wanting Erik Karlsson every single day of the week.
For sure.
Every day of the week. They got a new rink. They've been out of the playoffs now for a couple of years. They would kick tires on him, but maybe he doesn't want to trade him within the division. If he wasn't willing to trade Mike Hoffman within the division.
With this kind of player, if he's on your list, like if you're on his list, you have to kick it around and see what you got.
Yeah.
And you got to put together a respectable offer, too. Like, you can't just start clanking it around. You have to make the general manager, Pierre Dorion, to think twice about it and take it to the agent. And the other thing is exactly, you start throwing around a massive package and Carlson's camp goes, yeah, I'm not going to sign an extension.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're shooting yourself in your foot because you're giving away these picks and prospects for
two-season
rental.
Don't you think you pull it off the table? I mean,
absolutely.
I would think
It's only being done if this is agreed upon.
Yeah. I think basically you come to Ottawa with two different offers and you say, this is the one if he signs an extension. This is the one if it's a one-year rental.
Right.
Because even if it's only a one-year rental, teams will take him. Teams that think they're right there on the cusp of winning a Stanley Cup, they'll make that trade.
Yeah.
You know, they'll trade their future for one crack at him. And
correct.
Even the opportunity to have his rights to try to woo him into staying with your team.
Correct. You got a year to win him over.
Exactly.
Right?
So, we'll see.
I'm excited for it. I can't, because it is going to be somebody in left field.
Overdrive delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Terrell Owens in the news, courtesy of our main man, Dave Naylor. You're going to want to hear this. We'll tell you about that next. Thanks for listening to Overdrive. Visit TSN1050.ca where you can win $1,000 in free golf from underpar.com. We'll also award five runners-up with $100 gift cards. Enter up to once per day until July 1st. Pay less and play more with underpar.com. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. We're up on TSN2. Don't forget to set your PVRs. If you can't watch it live, you can watch it later. Find everything podcasted online at tsn1050.ca and subscribe and check us out on iTunes. Dave Naylor is tweeting out and reporting that the Edmonton Eskimos, your Eskimos, Noodles, has added Terrell Owens to their negotiating list.
Wow.
Terrell Owens.
I would do it in a second because I think it would create excitement and who knows what it's going to be. I think he's a bit of a sideshow. But I don't think he wants to really be an Edmonton Eskimo right now.
Does he want to play?
He's posting his videos all over the place. Apparently he ran a 4.34 40-meter dash.
He wants to play. He's telling people he wants to play. He's 44, I believe. He hasn't played in the league in a long time. Like, he hasn't been in the NFL in years. But he wants to play, or at least he wants the spotlight. I mean, that stunt he pulled with the Hall of Fame last week is just so egotistical, so obnoxious. You get invited into the Football Hall of Fame and you go,
no thanks. Well, what is it? He's obviously still going in, but he's not accepting
it. I guess he's still going in, but he's not going to show up for the ceremony. So no speech, no golden jacket, nothing. He's just not going. He's not going to be there. So I kind of have a feeling that the reason he's doing that is he wants to send out the message, like, don't think of me as some older, retired guy who's mailing it in and hanging it up. It's almost his way of saying, I don't want to go into the Hall of Fame right now because I don't think I'm finished.
I don't know. This guy,
I'd go see him play. I need Johnny. Yes, I would. I want Johnny Manziel and Terrell Owens in the CFL. That's what I'm looking for. I would go see T.O. play. Absolutely. He's one of the great football players of all time. He's one of the great wideouts in NFL history.
You're my quarterback. He's my quarterback.
I just don't like his attitude.
Nobody does.
He's unlikable.
He's very unlikable.
He plays the villain.
You kind of need that in society.
I guess.
Like you on this show. We need a villain. You're the villain.
How am I the villain? The voice of reason.
The voice of reason.
Three lunatics sitting here yelling at each other.
Yeah, I guess.
No, we're all three lunatics.
Yeah, we're all
included. I include myself in that conversation. You're right. Try to bring a different perspective to it. That's it.
Well, who would be the villain on this show?
Well, I am, for sure, because I don't, you know...
Drink the Kool-Aid?
I don't wave a pom-pom around. Yeah, but so I
do, happily.
No, you guys don't. You for the most part, I feel like
We've trained
each other to be not as crazy as it was early on.
Right.
5 years ago, it was crazy.
You think so?
Yes. If we went back and listened to, like, Leafs Lunch 5 years ago, like, we had hypotheticals, and the team was terrible, too. So you were...
Right.
Like, it was not...
That was the problem. And creating content around a team that's awful... is not easy to do. I mean, talk to people talking. We talk about the Jays pretty much day in, day out. We don't talk about them for three hours a day.
Right.
But talking about the Blue Jays right now is very difficult to do. So you kind of need the hypotheticals and you need the crazy takes
because
to kind of spark some sort of interesting conversation.
Yeah, you're right. People,
I find it so much easier when the team sucks.
To find the content, you mean.
Oh, yeah. When they're good, it's just like, another win.
People are yelling and screaming, you got to do this, you got to do that. But it's amazing the leadership. And remember, captaincy was such a big deal and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I still believe that the Mike Hoffman-Carlson situation brings a lot of this to light. That, hey, maybe character and intangibles and chemistry in the room and leadership means a lot more than people think.
But if that is the case, then why is Florida acquiring this guy? Like, that's where I get caught up in this whole thing. Because I agree. I think it goes both ways. I think it can be over-accentuated both ways.
Correct.
And I think Ottawa might be, to be honest with you, overcompensating.
Right.
Understandably so, because they had such a horrible season. And by all accounts, it was just a really weird scene behind the scenes.
But don't you think that in Florida, this thing disappears? Like, it's kind of...
Not if she did it and she's going with them.
Oh, yeah. If she did it and she's going with them, he's got a major problem
in
here.
But
I told you at the beginning of the show, if she did do it, he I don't know, as an athlete, you can't be with her. Well, I'm not Dr. Phil. Everyone's got their own love story, whatever, but you cannot be with... For your own career, if you want to have a long career in playing, make a bunch of money... You ain't doing it.
Imagine he showed up on Dr. Phil. How do you think old school Dale Tallon would feel about that? Dr. Phil brings out Mike Hoffman and his fiance in Florida Panthers gear for a sit down.
Well, an old
to
school,
go over everything.
Old school Chris Pronger too would probably scissor kick him.
Yeah.
How about our buddy Caber too?
Old school Brian McCabe.
All three of those guys are old school.
I kind of like that, how Talon threw both of them out there. Yeah. He's like, I trust my staff, Chris Pronger, Brian McCabe.
Yeah. Just basically like,
they know people around the league. They sniffed around. They asked around.
Basically, if this goes south, go talk to those two guys.
Old ugly face just started sweating when he saw that tweet.
So he would have had
khaki pants
the Chris Berman pants going.
Oh, yeah. Florida Swass for Caber.
We got to have Ugly Face on this week.
We'll get
or later,
this,
next week.
It's going to be depressing, not because that's the best part of going down to the draft, is hanging out
we'll
with
see if he'll come on Thursday. We usually talk to him on the draft day, don't we?
Yeah, we talk to him on Friday, usually.
We'll try for Thursday.
We got to get him to do a selfie, though, because we want to see where the hairline's at.
Oh, it is so deep cut into the top of his skull by now. He had to have gone Messier by now.
There's giant piano keys for teeth. Like they,
great teeth.
Been.
Great teeth, man. Don't take shots at those teeth.
But they're too big for his mouth. Well. That's the thing. They're for like a shark. Something else. Like something with a bigger mouth.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, shout out. Listen, this is why I wanted to work for Florida, because I like Pronger and like McCabe, and they're friends of the show.
Well, you hope you know, it does.
I hope it works out for them.
But it could go south. Because 3 months. Here's the other thing. If Florida struggles, that's the narrative that comes
oh,
out of there. This lady's ruined that dresser.
How'd you take this circus into your own backyard? How'd you bring it into town? That's the gamble they're taking. Like, because what you can do, like, they're a better team on ice today than they were yesterday.
Yes, because of his talent.
Mike Hoffman's a good player. He'll probably be on the second line. I would think you keep Huberto with Barkov. You play him on the second line with Trocheck, and you got a good line. You got a good top six.
Yeah,
Dadonov had a great breakout year last year. Like, you know, they were a point out of making the playoffs a year ago.
Yeah,
they've got good young pieces. Hoffman's a young guy who can score 25, but it's the potential baggage that comes with it. But you know, I guess what I'm saying, what sparked this conversation, is it can go both ways, depending on where you are. If you're coming out of a really bad spot, character means a lot. The room means a lot. If you're coming from a good spot, like New England's a perfect example. The Patriots, they take on guys with huge baggage.
They have forever. Randy Moss, it goes on and on.
All the time. Chad Ochocinco was brought in there. They brought in Albert Haynesworth, I believe, at one point.
The guy, Hernandez, who was there. That guy was there.
But here's the one thing. Here's the only difference, I guess, that we should point out when it comes to New England and football compared to other sports. They can hang over these players that will cut you in a heartbeat if you step out of line.
That's right. If the leader, every organization, whenever we call guys and say, would you ever be, you know, what about this guy? They'd be like, a lot of times it's like our leadership is just not strong enough right now to handle that. But if you're New England, there's Tom Brady, there's Bill Belichick, there's Kraft. It's just, they handle it.
Exactly. They get it done, but they can do they can hang it over their heads, like over the player's head. Like, you want to be a part of the program, you buy in. If you don't, you're gone. That's it, regardless.
Yep.
Now, Dale Tallon could probably do that if it doesn't work out 3 months into the season. You may not get the price that you paid for it, but you can always, I think that it's been proven in the last 3-4 years, regardless of what a player has, baggage, bad contract or whatever, there's a suitor somewhere
There's a team that's either desperate enough or thinks they're savvy enough to pull it off.
Willing to do it, and it's been proven.
It's proven again today. Proven again today. Mike Hoffman got dealt.
We all, I think, agree.
I didn't think he was getting traded until this was resolved.
I agree, and I think we all agreed on that, saying, like, right now it just doesn't seem. Now, I think Bobby Mack said, and we made a case for it, like there would be a team that would be out there that was doing their due diligence to try and trade for him, pennies on the dollar. And ultimately, that's what Florida and San Jose did pay for Mike Hoffman.
Yep. You see, Trump was talking about Canada today.
The shoes crossing the border.
Okay, we got to try to find this audio. Find the audio, because someone just sent it to me, the quote. Because it's all about the tariffs and all that stuff, right? NAFTA and everything. So I guess Trump said the Canadians are smuggling U.S. goods into Canada to avoid paying tariffs. They buy shoes and they wear them. They scuff them up to make them sound old or look old, end quote.
And then they go over the border. And
the thing is, he's not wrong about that. Every Canadian has gone over and bought something and worn it to cross the border.
I never 100%. Pay. I rip the tags out and I act like it's in my luggage.
Immediately,
I do
that. He
isn't wrong on that.
He's not wrong about that.
Like, that's the problem. Like, don't get us going down a political path, but it's just, it is.
It is not fake news that Canadians do find a way to circumvent that kind of stuff.
It is.
But it's not, I don't think you're paying American taxes. It's about getting through the Canadian border.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But he's clung on to that nugget, put it that way.
Yeah.
And of course it's been spun.
Coming down and buying shoes and scuffing them up to get across the border.
Scuffing them up. Every person that comes off a vacation from the US or from somewhere else back to Canada is wearing a brand new outfit.
Yes. Every time. Yeah, every time. We're going down to Buffalo in like a month and a half. Yeah. I'll be honestly, remember when Garth is decked out in Reebok gear in Wayne's World? That will be me crossing the border. Brand new hat, shirt, shorts.
Yeah.
Underwear.
Joe Boxers.
Maybe.
Get some Calvin's, buddy. All black.
You got it. Get to our best bets brought to you by Proline. Jays, Braves tonight. We caught up with Alex Anthopoulos earlier. Interesting things said about the Rogers Center. Get into that quickly as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. We've got the Trump clip about Canadians buying shoes and scuffing them up. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, I love that stuff.
There was a story 2 days ago in a major newspaper talking about people living in Canada coming into the United States and smuggling things back into Canada because the tariffs are so massive. The tariffs to get common items back into Canada are so high that they have to smuggle them in. They buy shoes and they wear them. They scuff them up. They make them sound old or look old.
Sound old.
No, we're treated horribly.
It's always a sob story. They're always treated so horribly. The Canadians coming over and buying shoes and scuffing them up. How could we survive?
He had another comment today that was just outrageous. He was like, people were talking so much crap about me. I actually started hating me. And then he's like, then I realized, it goes on.
And I realized I was the president.
Rob tweeting in and pointing out, again, if Canadians are doing that and trying to get back over the Canadian border, it's to avoid paying taxes to the Canadian government, not the American one. And I said, and I'm just being honest, every Canadian knows it. We've all done it. You go over there, you buy stuff. You don't want to, you maybe went over your spending limit. You try to dodge it by wearing the clothes or packing them. And,
I've never done anything different.
No, and I'm not going to stop doing
that. Tags are in the hotel room in the garbage every time.
Louis tweeting in, Hayes crossing back into Canada in a month. Customs officer. Big fan. Listen all the time. Nice outfit. Pull over to lane 3.
Exactly.
It's probably true. I shouldn't have said that on the air. I'm going to get outed. Anyway. Time now for our best bets. Brought to you by Proline. Fading Baltimore tonight, as always. Cleveland at home against Chicago. What else did I bet here? Under the number, Seattle Yankees. Throw down 20, you can score 84. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Proline, get way into the game. Jays, Braves tonight. We had Alex Anthopoulos on in the previous hour. Said he's a fan of the Rogers Center. Yeah. No longer employed by the team. Doesn't have to shill out for the Jays.
I'm a fan of it, too. Like I think they got to find something different in the years ahead, but I think it's fascinating being in that building. I always have, and I always will.
The location is perfect. The ACC and the Rogers Center, right downtown, basically connected to Union Station. Parking is what it is, but in terms of getting there and
whatever, figure that out.
You figure that out. Yeah. All the there's a lot of bars around there, restaurants around there. There's a buzz when you're downtown. It is in a great spot, and the ability to have the dome retractable, where you never have rainouts or delays or anything like that. Is a bonus, but it's 30 years.
It's old.
It's 30 years.
It needs to be upgraded, or they need a new one.
We'll talk about the Jays, the Braves, upgrades, all tomorrow.
At 4 o'clock.
We'll chat then.